All right, is the intro over?
No. Well, hold on. Blog Talk Radio from always screwing up the intro, and you know, show Blog Talk some love. I'm your host, Jason Teasley, and here on a special episode of From the Cheap Seats, we have a special guest. Jesse set this up, one of his friends that he listens to on another podcast, and from the NASCAR website of rubbingsracing.com, we have Toby. Jesse, this is your baby today, so I'm going to let you do everything and introduce your guest, and I'm going to take kind of a back seat and just enjoy the show, man.
All right. Well, thanks for the intro, Teasley. I appreciate it. Yeah, this is our special NASCAR episode of From the Cheap Seats, and I've talked a little bit about how much I've listened or watched NASCAR. I wasn't a really huge fan, but then as I started to get older, I started to, you know, enjoy the races a lot more and started to understand what went into all of it. And instead of, you know, drivers just turning left, it became a sport that I really enjoyed. And so a couple of years ago, I started listening to podcasts. A lot of people know that who listen to the show or are friends of the show. I, you know, podcast quite a bit. And I came across one on iTunes by the name of The Final Lap, and it was hosted by a man by the name of Kerry Murphy and co-hosted by our special guest today, Toby Christie. Toby, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Hey, Jesse, thanks for having me on, man. You need to lay off me a little bit in the fantasy NASCAR that we're doing this year, though. You're kind of whooping up on it.
I tell you what, man. Remember, I don't know if you remember, but I sent one tweet right before I started going on my epic run, and that was, I'm going to change my strategy up. And I kid you not, dude. This whole new thing I'm trying, it did really well, at least I'd say about five or six races. And now I'm struggling trying to stay up there. It's especially just, you know, you get toward the end of a segment and you start running out of those drivers you really love. You know, you got to hold on to your jimmies, and unfortunately that could come back and bite you.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a unique game this year around, but I remember you were way in the back, and you worked your way back up, so that's very impressive. So kudos to you on that. I'm really happy to be on here today. I've been listening to you guys' show, and I've been wanting to get on here, so this is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. What I'm excited about, you know, we're two races outside of what they call the chase. Now, a lot of our fan base, you know, we're really NFL football geared people, and we'll talk about whatever comes up we enjoy. But NASCAR I think this year is a great year for somebody to jump on to NASCAR, just because of the way they've done what they're doing here with the chase. And, you know, the main reason I wanted to bring you on today was kind of get your thoughts on that. But before we go to that, let's get a little background on who Toby Christie is and what led you to get into racing. What can you give me an idea of what brought you into your love of racing?
Yeah, I mean, when I was 4 years old, the family got together in February, and we decided to watch the Daytona 500, the 1993 Daytona 500. We were all sitting there, and I remember that thing to this day, even though I was only four. I mean, I remember that was an awesome race. I remember seeing Rusty Wallace go flipping and Dale Jarrett and Dale Earnhardt racing to the finish line with Dale Jarrett's dad Ned calling the race, and that was just a really monumental moment for me. I don't know, it was a heck of an event, and just to see how things could change so quickly in a sporting event for a young kid, that was just something incredible. And I've watched every race since that day. So they definitely gained a fan that day, and now they've gained a media member.
Yeah. How was it? You said it was your family. Was your dad big into it, or was it uncles or anybody specific that was huge into it? Or was it just the whole family?
Well, my dad was a casual fan. He watched the 1979 Daytona 500 like a lot of people did. Worked his way up through that way, watching just here and there, but. Our house was more of a football house at the time, but our uncles had gotten pretty big into NASCAR, and that's what kind of spawned that huge 1993 Daytona 500 watching party, and we all watched it that day, and from there I was hooked. I mean, I've never seen another sport that even measures the excitement of NASCAR. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can happen, and just when you think you got it figured out, something else happens. There's no gimmies in NASCAR. You never really know what's going to happen.
Yeah, one of the things that I just as I started, recognizing the sport for what it was, there is a lot of change in that sport. I mean, on the depths of stuff that is just so minute, because that small, just a small tiny change to either the car or, a millisecond on a pit stop, things like that really can change the outcome of a race, let alone, points going towards a championship, stuff like that, and that's when I really started to gain the respect of how how these guys get in and out of this car each and every week, and what goes into. So we're not talking just one driver here. We're talking about a team that's got to put all this stuff together, engines, car specs, all that stuff. It's definitely a sport that I'm starting to learn to enjoy a lot more. And of course, if you're even just a casual fan, you're wanting to see somebody go into the wall or somebody get spun. And of course, as a kid, that was the allure that it had to me, was watching somebody get into it with another car or something like that. But yeah, definitely. Now, as for you said you became a media member. When did you when did you decide to make it a career?
Well, I've always been interested in radio. I'd say the first time I was even really thinking about being something in radio at some point was sixth grade. We had a technology class, and in there was a little thing where you'd sit down at a table and you'd do a little mock, like introducing a song and like introducing a commercial and stuff, and that just seemed really fun to me. So when we graduated high school, me and my buddies, we graduated in 2006 from high school, went to 2007. We opened up our own website, signifyfied.com, and it started out as an internet radio station, as crazy as that is. So we were playing music. We had all the real rights and stuff. We had done our homework, and it was all legal and legit. But then the rights and royalty fees went up, and just on a shoestring budget, we decided to cut that, and we went to more sports talk because we all like sports a lot. Around the same time, I saw there was an ad for Bleacher Report online saying, hey, do you want to write about NASCAR or other sports like that? I was like, well, I like NASCAR. I know quite a bit about it. I'll write about it. So I got my foot in the door through Bleacher Report. From there, Christopher Smith at RubbingsRacing.com noticed me. He brought me on. Went there. Did great for a couple years there. Then Kerry Murphy of The Final App had me do a couple of guest spots on his show. From there, he wanted me to do a full-time deal with him. I think it was 2012. So we went ahead and did that. And at the time, things didn't line up correctly for The Final App and RubbingsRacing.com for us to do both. So I moved from RubbingsRacing.com, did The Final App weekly show, had my own NASCAR website on the side at signifyfied.com. We had changed over to that. Eventually went to Daily Pit Stop. And now I'm back at RubbingsRacing.com for my writing and still doing the Final App Weekly radio show. And it's good stuff, man.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoy it. I get on there and read the articles and enjoy reading it. I was watching you do the live Twitter last week for the race in Bristol. That was fun. a lot of good stuff. Now, you said you guys, you had mentioned that you had done a, you guys were playing internet radio. Was there a certain genre? Was it metal? Was it pop? What were you guys playing?
We were doing early to mid late 2000s alternative heavier rock. Stuff like Stain, 3 Days Grace, Seether, stuff like that. It was pretty fun. We also had some old classics in there too, but yeah, it was really fun. I miss it a lot. It was actually it was really fun. And we had a bunch of bands come in our little makeshift studio at our house and stuff, and we'd interview them.
Oh, man.
It was fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome stuff. All right. Well, let's go ahead. We'll talk about the Chase. You know, again, like I said, I think this year is a great jumping on point for anybody who is interested at least a little bit of getting into NASCAR. Now, granted, we're a good ways through the season right now, but the Chase is really going to be interesting. Can you give us an idea of what? First off, we understand the Chase has changed. Can you give us an idea what the Chase was like prior to this year?
Yeah, prior to this year, for the first 26 races, what they would basically do is at the end of the 26th race, they would take the top 12 best drivers, elevate them to where they're competing for the championship, and basically eliminate everyone else from championship contention at that point. You'd have the 12 guys fight it out. They'd reset the entire point standings, and they'd fight it out over the last 10 races. And whoever at the end of the 10 races had the most points would want to be the champion. The point system is confusing for a lot of people, especially casual NASCAR fans who don't watch it every week. They're like, well, what's all these points? I don't understand. Some guy's 35 points behind. What's that mean to me? So I think this new system is going to be great. I mean, this thing is it's going to be something that I think football fans, NBA fans, other fans of stick and ball sports are going to really kind of cling to because – every three races, you're eliminating people, and it's not really based off points because once the whole thing's done, you have a three-race round where you eliminate the bottom four, then another three-race round, another three-race round. And the last thing is just one race, winner-take-all between the four guys that are left standing. So it's an elimination thing, and it's gonna be really cool. And to not have to worry about points in the last race is just going to be awesome.
Let me hop in here for a second. I got two quick questions. One is I've got to know, because I read Bleacher Report a lot for my NFL stuff, how was that experience?
At the time, it was very fun. I really don't have any negative things to say about my time at Bleacher Report. When I was there, it was more kind of freely open, and we would just go in there and write whatever. But, no, it was fun. It really helped to launch things for me. So I don't have any complaints with it. I know there for a little while they were kind of getting a bad rap for doing a bunch of slideshows and just not real reporting, but I think they've changed things quite a bit here recently. So I think that's a really good website that a lot of people are using these days. But I loved my experience there, and like I said, it moved me on to other things. So I'm always grateful to that website.
All right, and my second thing is I want to hop in here with is you said that like I said, I'm way beyond a novice. I've drunkenly attended a couple of NASCAR races, and I know that I've been in the venue. That's about it. But you said that they changed it up to something that will appeal to more of the fan, kind of like a NCAA tournament bracket where, you know, every race people are getting eliminated. Could you elaborate on that for me a little bit? Because I mean, I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of people like me that don't really follow NASCAR, and just know that basically that they go on a point system, and kind of break the, you know, how points are earned and everything. And then I'll let Jesse take back over, man.
Yeah, no problem. The way points are earned every week, it's a 43-1 system. The guy who wins the race gets 43 points. If he leads a lap, which obviously if you win the race, you lead a lap, so that's 44 points. Then you also get another point for leading the most laps. So that would make it 45 points. And then for winning the race, you get an extra 3 bonus points, which makes it a total, grand total of 48 possible points the winner can get. Last place would get 1 point, and it would just go 43 down to 1, 1 point per position, just like that, with the lap leader bonuses in there. But the elimination, I mean, you're going to have you're going to have 10 races. The first 3 races, at the end of that, you'll have 16 guys going into the 10 races. At the end of 3 races, you lose the bottom 4 of the 16. So So you'll have four guys out of it. You'll have 12 guys competing for the last little bit here. Then you have another three-race stretch. At the end of that three races, the bottom four of the 12 get eliminated. So now you're down another group there. And then after the next three races, you get rid of the bottom four yet again, which leaves you with just four guys in that final race at Homestead. It's basically a game seven. It's a Super Bowl. It's a championship game. That's what it is. You don't have to worry about whether or not you lead the most laps. You don't have to worry about where your competitors are. You just got to worry about what you're doing and try to win the race. If you win the race, you win the championship no matter what. It's gonna be very interesting for sure. It's gonna be. We haven't seen how it plays out yet, but I really think it's gonna be the most exciting way to end the season in NASCAR. Because for so many years, the championship's won before the last race even starts. For the most part, usually the guy just has to start 20th or whatever like that, and it's just not that exciting most of the time. I know we had Carl Edwards versus Tony Stewart a few years ago where they ended up tying for the championship, and that was super dramatic. But this is gonna be something completely different because. No matter what you've done all season long, it doesn't matter going to that last race. If you don't finish higher than the other three guys you're competing against for that championship, it's all for naught. You could have won seven races in the regular season, but if you don't get it done in that one race, it's all done.
So basically it goes back to how the race season starts with the Coca-Cola shootout. It's one and done.
Yeah, it's going to be one and done for sure. It's just like the Super Bowl. A few years ago, the Patriots went undefeated during the entire regular season, went through the playoffs and everything, got to the Super Bowl, and they were up against the Giants, who were, I believe, the last seed in the playoffs that year. And
faced
off for the Super Bowl.
You was building me up. You know, you was talking Patriots, and then come up against my beloved Giants, and then you go, oh, yeah, that was the last seed. No, they was the seventh seed that year. It was not the eight.
Hey.
It was the seven.
It's okay. You know what? Hey, I was pulling from that year, and I'm glad they pulled it off. But so they got to the Super Bowl, and the team that had all these wins ended up losing to the Giants, and the Giants win the Super Bowl. That can happen in this. The 16th place guy can end up working his way back up to the top and winning the championship, and it's going to be really exciting. It really is. I mean, we don't know how it's going to play out. We don't know what strategy these guys are going to be using. It's going to be interesting to see who can figure it out quicker.
I thought about mentioning this, and I thought, no, nah, maybe not. But, you know, when they redid this system, one of the big things that came out of them talking after they had done this was the fact that Dale Jr., had this system been in place last year, would have been the chase. He would have been the champion. And if, I hate Jimmy Johnson winning so many freaking championships, all right? I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. The guy is – the team's – it's a monster team, and Chad Knaus and that team, they did some wonderful, wonderful things. But I hated seeing him just year after year pulling those things in here. And this is something where anybody who's, you know, got that – loathing for a certain driver or a love for a certain driver can go into this chase going, okay, my guy definitely has a chance. That's one of the things I think that makes this so exciting is that, you know, just like Toby said, you come down to the last race and it's that guy that crosses the finish line first. That's what a race is about. I mean, if you look at the word race, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing that first guy come across the finish line, he's the winner. And I think that's what we've wanted to see this whole time. I mean, point system was great. I don't know how many people were – I don't know if you were a huge fan of the point system or not, Toby, but I can tell you that, just like you said, it's confusing. I couldn't easily grasp onto that. Now, you put this in front of me, and I can go, oh, yeah, I can understand this pretty easily. The new chase is going to be something else. I mean, I'm definitely excited for it. Is it something you believe has changed for the better for sure?
Oh, I definitely think so. I think the NASCAR, the championship deciding deal has had to be overhauled for a while now. They tried the chase, the initial chase, and that was a step in the right direction because it got people kind of interested once the second half of the season got going. For many years, it was you'd have like a 500-point lead going into that last 10-race stretch, and it was over. It was over before the 10 races had even started. And so it was just kind of boring for people that were watching out for the championship. when the Chase came in, you're like, well, you know, this kind of changed everything. It re-racks everything. People have a chance to kind of get on a hot streak here and pull out a championship. Guys like Kurt Busch in 2004 were able to do that and were able to take some championships in years they probably wouldn't have won a title any other way. But now this is going to completely change it up. So, I mean, you're going to have guys like A.J. Allmendinger, who's currently in this Chase this year, who possibly could get on a little bit of a hot streak, just work his way up through these little rounds little by little, as long as he doesn't get eliminated in the bottom four of any of these things, work his way and maybe get a lucky win in there, he could be a champion.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'm definitely excited. And if you are a novice NASCAR fan like Teasley and you're thinking about watching the sport, again, great jumping on point. Jump in there, watch. I mean, we're two races outside of the Chase right now, so we got another couple races before we start seeing what things are going to look like for the 16 drivers that are in it. So, okay. Let's go ahead and we'll change gears here right now. We got Toby on here. We wanted to bring him on a couple weeks back. Some things didn't work out when the incident happened with Tony Stewart, and we did a little bit of a special on there. There were a few questions I definitely wanted to ask Toby about, and we just got word a couple days ago that Tony's returning back to the track this coming Sunday, right, Toby?
Yeah, he will. He is in Atlanta. He practiced yesterday. He qualified yesterday. He will race this weekend in Atlanta.
Okay. Now, you guys talked about it on the final lap, and what one thing I was wondering is, I mean, how do you think it's too soon? Now, I'm talking about this was a couple weeks when you guys talked, but now, do you guys think it's too soon for him to come back?
Well, the initial scuttlebutt was that we wouldn't see him in the car until the investigation was complete. The investigation was given a timetable of possibly 2 weeks, but no official timetable was really given. The 2 weeks has come and gone. We're still going. They're saying it might be another 2 weeks from here, maybe even longer. So that investigation is going to take a little bit longer to complete. Tony Stewart has an obligation to employees. He's got an obligation to his sponsors. But more importantly, if he thinks he's ready to be behind the wheel, the psychologist or whatever loops he's had to go through to get back to being approved to be back behind the wheel of the car, if they all say he's good to go and there's no legal action currently against him, I don't see why he can't be behind the wheel of the car.
Okay. I remember one of the things that you tweeted there shortly after it had happened was about how, you know, when a cop – you know, uses a weapon, you know, they're made to take some time off. Now, I didn't go in and investigate, you know, how long does a cop have to take time off for, but you would figure that there is, man, there's got to be a lot of emotion as soon as he sits behind that wheel. You know, my thoughts, and I'll just go ahead and throw this out there, I thought the guy should honestly take the rest of the season off. Is there an advantage? Now, I'm not trying to paint Tony in a negative way here, but with him being out, is there a points advantage or anything like that with him getting back behind the car, or is it something where, you know, he's just going to go out there and race, and it's obviously just like you said for the sponsors, but it's not. Is it going to matter in any way for him in the championship?
I mean, it definitely can. NASCAR stated yesterday, Mike Elton announced that if Tony Stewart does win either this week in Atlanta or next week at Richmond, he's eligible for the Chase. NASCAR has granted him a waiver for the three races that he missed. NASCAR is allowed to hand out a waiver for any kind of health reasons or things like that, and they deemed this to be the situation that would call for a waiver. And so if Stewart wins one of these next two races, he's in the championship hunt. So there's definitely still a championship to be ran for him if he competes well this weekend. I don't expect him to win this weekend. There's a lot on his mind right now, as you would imagine.
Yeah.
And he's been out of the car for a month now. So to come out and win Atlanta would be very difficult. But he's won Richmond, I believe, three times in the past. So that wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. But, man, I can only imagine what he is going through right now. His press conference was so emotionally stirred yesterday. And I mean, he's been through a lot, and I feel bad for him, but I feel bad for that family as well. And it's just a tough situation. I don't know what I would do in this situation. I don't know if I'd want to race. I don't know if I would want to race. I've never been through that.
Yeah.
But obviously, Stuart and the people around him, his friends, family, they've all come to the consensus that this is the best thing for him.
Teasley, right, I know. Yeah, I was going to say, I know
I'm
going to
hop in. I'm going to hop in real quick. You know, I know we got you for a limited amount of time left, so I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. How much blame do you put on Stuart, if any? I mean, since you're somebody that follows the sport more than I do, I mean, like I said, casual fan, I see the outside perspective. How much blame, if any, do you put on Stuart, and how much backlash do you think his sponsors are holding him accountable for?
Well, to be fair, I wasn't there that night. I've seen the same video that everybody else has seen, just the one angle of it. And you can't tell much from it. You don't. If it was a sideways shot, you could kind of see if he really lit up the tires and stuff like that. But I don't know enough about it. I wasn't in the car. The only person who really knows that would be Tony Stewart, and maybe the people that are reconstructing the crash scene to see what had happened. But I can't pass blame either way. It wouldn't be right in this situation to even try to act like I was there and knew what happened. I've never driven a wing sprint car. I don't even cover the wing sprint car series, so I'm not an expert in that field by any means. So I don't want to pass blame on someone and maybe step over my boundaries there. But he's taking heat from people that aren't racing specialists, because just by looking at the tape without knowing anything about those cars, people draw conclusions. And whether they're fair or not, that's what people do. That's just what human beings do. So I'm going to hold off on passing any blame until we hear the results of an investigation for sure.
All right, just because if you – I don't know if you listened to the special we done covering it. I put my personal opinion from, you know, the perspective that I own and everybody's entitled to opinion, I think that it's a 50-50. Granted, the kids should never get out of the car, but – under caution, there should have not been that much force. He should not have been able to get hit with that much force. But also, something that Stewart has to, me and Jesse touched on, something that Stewart has to deal with is the fact that his attitude and the way he's perceived in and out of the sport. He is kind of a DB, and he lives up to it. But that's one thing I respect about Stewart. He doesn't put on a facade for anybody. He's the same guy. He's the same prick that he is in the car that he is outside the car. You know, and I think that's the way he is away from racing. I mean, I don't personally know him. I can't. But I respect him for the fact that what you see is actually what you get with him. There's no false persona to him or anything. But I'm going to kind of parlay this in. Do you think that the sponsors, that he's going to lose sponsors due to this deal, and they're going to look at it kind of like, I know this is a far stretch, the whole Donald Sterling thing where, you know, the backlash that he had for racist remarks, that you're going to have the same, that eventually, you know, pending investigation, that Stewart's going to have any backlash from his sponsors and stuff being associated with somebody in this situation?
Well, the whole deal with that, I don't think you're going to see any kind of backlash, at least until the investigation is complete. Now, if the investigation comes back and Tony Stewart's looking at jail time, I think for sure sponsors are going to say, okay, we've had enough, we're out of here. If he comes back, it's all clear, he's good to go. I don't think you're going to see any sponsors that are going to be able to cut the contract right now and just leave. What they might do is reevaluate things once the contract's up. Mobile One, Bass Pro Shops might look at it once their contracts are up and go, do we really want to renew? I mean, this guy's broken a leg a couple of years ago, and now he missed a few races because he was involved in a tragic accident at a local speedway. Should we be involved with this? Should we go to somebody else? That's something that might be possible. But as long as everything comes back on this investigation where Tony Stewart's in the clear legally, I don't see any way that these other sponsors can just kind of tear up the contract.
Okay. Well, like Jesse said, we had you for a limited time, and, you know, I know you got stuff to do, and we're kind of, you know, you gracious with your presence, and gave us a little bit of insight. Like I said, Jesse follows it a lot closer than I do, and you've helped me understand a lot of things. So, like I said, you limited time. So if you want to go ahead and plug all your stuff and get out of here and go right ahead, the floor is yours, and we'll go ahead and let you get on with your day.
Let me hop in real quick. Let me hop in real quick before he takes off.
No.
Toby, I appreciate it again. I thank you very much for coming on, man. Have free reign with plugs here, man. And, you know, we would love to have you back on anytime you want to come on and talk about something. I'm sure we can work something out.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a blast. I'd love to be back on. You guys are good stuff. I mean, I like listening to you guys. There's not enough people out there that on podcasts. People are too tight. They don't like to loosen up. They don't like to give out real opinions. They're just like news. That's it. Done. And you gotta have fun. You gotta have fun while doing it. That's what me and Carrie tried to do on our show. And I see you guys definitely have fun here. So that's the best part. It's a fun working environment. And I'll definitely be back for sure.
Absolutely. Great. All right, man. What do you got to plug?
Yeah, I mean, just go check out my writing stuff over there at rubbingsracing.com. We've got a huge staff as well. It's not like my old stuff. If anybody listening has been to some of my old stuff, it's not just kind of a one-man band. There's a lot of us over there putting out a lot of content. RubbingsRacing.com. Also, go check out thefinalapp.com. That's where our show is hosted, The Final App Weekly. Carrie Murphy also does a good job upkeeping that website. Also, you can find me on Twitter at Tobalical, T-O-B-A-L-I-C-A-L. Kind of weird way to go about that. But if you get me on there, I'm very I interact through Twitter if people reach out to me. So that's the ways you can get a hold of me there.
All right. Toby, man, again, thank you very much for coming on. And we look forward to talking to you here pretty soon. And hope don't be making a comeback on the fantasy racing on me here. Let me have my glory by beating one of you hosts really soundly.
Well, I mean, you're beating Carrie very soundly. So you don't have to worry about that.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks again for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Toby. All right, man. I mean, I think that went very well, and I really appreciate Toby coming on and kind of sharing his expertise in the field of NASCAR with us and showing, you know, that we can expand and we do have we can be a broader spectrum rather than college NFL football. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that maybe he garnered interest in a couple of things. I mean, the new structure that he's talked about with the chase and everything. I mean, it kind of intrigued me because I definitely for at least the last race of the season.
Yeah, I was
for
gonna
the,
say,
the one and the, done.
Yeah, the last race will be something else. When you got four drivers trying to cross that finish line first, I mean, none of these guys are giving up. And then just like he had said, you know, prior to some races, you know, people were like, it's over with. The guy's already won the championship. What's the point? You're going out there driving to maybe get some cash, but that's about it. So now I'm there for the chase and watching. I'm going to at least keep up on it, and I'm watching that final race for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, I mean, it was a really interesting interview. I think you did a great job. I think Toby did a great job, you know, breaking it down, because like I said, he pointed out that a lot of people don't understand the point system, and that's why I wanted to get a little bit of clarification, because me personally, I don't understand the point system. I think he done it very well. He very eloquently broke it down to the level of my intelligence, which is slightly above Homer Simpson. So I think, I mean, you know, he at least gained one listener to his show, especially through the Chase for the Cup, because I'm going to check it out, everyone. I want to check it out. Maybe it'll spark my interest in left-hand turns.
Turn left. All right. We got Caleb down here, by the way. He's been down here for the past 45 minutes, and I've been telling the kid to stay quiet. Just trying to keep a four-year-old quiet is about dang near impossible. He's been doing a good job. I'm really surprised. He hasn't dropped anything too loud yet.
Well, that's fine. We'll put him on air. We'll fi- we'll figure out who thinks going to win the Super Bowl or something.
We got one day. We need to put a little star. We got one extra live listener. He's right down here. So we'll add that to the totals at the end of the day.
All right, man. Like I said, I mean, you know, we'll go ahead and discuss our upcoming show coming this Wednesday at a lovely, tentatively 10 o'clock, maybe.
Tentatively
10 o'clock. Depending on how my day at work went and if I'm awake. But this week we're going to this is the stretch. We're going to be going weekly starting this week because Thursday's the big day of kicking off pro football. So Wednesday's going to be jam packed with we got a little bit of news with the whole USC Trojans that we want to discuss, and then we're going to get into our pickings and make our Super Bowl predictions so we can all look back and laugh, and you know, we'll do a final recap of what we've seen, what we liked and disliked from our teams in the preseason.
Hey, do you remember that we made picks at there a long, long time ago? I still have them on the computer here, so
we can review those, and because when those picks were made, we was just going on a, just don't stop believing hope.
Pre-draft.
Now that we've got a little bit of inkling of what our teams look like, gauged by preseason, we can kind of we'll revisit that, and then, like I said, we'll make our Super Bowl predictions. I don't know if we did Super Bowl predictions on that or not, but if not, then we'll definitely do it Wednesday because it's gonna definitely be a fun show Wednesday night. I at least promise that I'll have all my fantasy drafts done except for the charity draft, and I'll be able to take a deep sigh and start relaxing before I get into the madnesses of owning 20. It's now 20 fantasy football teams.
Dude, I don't understand how you can even keep them straight. I mean, there's got to be times where you're sitting there going, oh, I need to get my lineup today, and I need to put so-and-so in the lineup. And then you're like, oh, crap, that's a totally different team.
Well, I'll tell you my secret. On just about every league that I'm in, every team I have, I set my lineup in 4 to 5 week increments. And unless an injury or something happens or – some freakishly occurs. I've got my lineup set, so there's some weeks that I don't even check in on teams. I'm not going to lie, especially if it's a free league. Now, all my pay leagues, I pay close attention to those. But if it's a free league, I usually just set my lineup and go, it looks good. And, having the apps that I do on my phone greatly helps because, it's kind of a one click. I can just kind of view lineups, just swipe and view lineups all at once. So, yeah. But
wow.
20 teams is a limit, and I will be nowhere near that next year, I promise. I will be in the 10 to 12 next year. I'm going to have to cut out. But a lot of these leagues this year, it was, oh, we need one more person for a free league, and it's like, what kind of draft you have? An auto draft? I'll just do an auto draft, and I've just signed up and let the computer pick or something for me. I've just kind of put who I want where and what position I want drafted that round and everything. So it's a lot harder than it sounds. Trust me.
I can maybe do 3 leagues, and that there's of course. When it comes to Sunday, man, just paying attention to the football games is a battle.
I tell you the best thing. The best thing to happen to me was having so many leagues and everything is a little thing called NFL Red Zone.
Oh, I know what you're talking about there.
I watch, and Shannon makes fun of me, and she hates it. But she works just about every Sunday. So This is my Sunday routine in football season. I wake up at 10 o'clock. At 10:30, I'm sitting at the local Bob Evans, eating breakfast, getting some big-ass blueberry pancakes. and that's exactly what I order. When they come over, I said, I want big-ass blueberry pancakes. As I'm sitting there eating, they got free Wi-Fi at Bob Evans, so I'm sitting there listening to podcasts. And, you know, sit, start advice. You know, I'm sitting there, you know, checking it out. By the time I get done eating, load up in the car, drive home. It's about 15 till 12. I get everything, let the dog out, everything, get her taken care of, get me a soda of three, sitting beside the bed where I'm going to be parked. Noon rolls around, 12 o'clock rolls around, it's pregame, and then at 1 o'clock, my NFL Red Zone kicks in, and it is nonstop football, no commercials, no nothing, from 1 o'clock till I think it's right around 7:30. And then after at 7:30, this is what's so funny, 7:30, I call in my food at the little pizza place up by my house. They know me by, as soon as they see my number pop up, they know. They usually answer the phone and say, all right, Jason, it's going to be about 15 minutes. They hang up the phone. I hop in the shower, take my shower. As soon as I get out of the shower, go pick up my pizza, come back, watch Sunday Night Football, and then go to bed.
Oh,
that's my Sunday.
That is how many Sundays you're doing that over and over and over? We're talking 17. And 17,
well,
right?
Well, no, because Sunday Night Football sometimes gets interrupted because...
I don't want to know about that.
Well, no, because come October, Walking Dead comes back on, and unless the Giants are playing Sunday Night Football, I kind of just follow the game on my phone while me and Shannon watch Walking Dead together.
That is dedication, friend. Dedication. I can tell you that all that I really do is, well, you know, I got that one little thing I was running. I brought you into last year. Doing the pick 'em. I do the pick 'em, and then I get in there and kind of, you know, I set up a spreadsheet with a top five. This is really geeky, but that probably consumes most of my day on my Sunday, is setting up the spreadsheet on the top five and figuring out what games I need to go my way in order to advance. And then what I do is I pretty much write down the results and then put the turn on the alerts for those games that I desperately need on ESPN. And then honest to goodness, last year, and people are going to want to kick me off of this podcast, but honest to goodness, last year I may have watched two or three games. And I mean, that the Browns are on every...
We got to change that. We got to change that.
Because I mean, a lot of that is because when Sunday rolls around, I'm usually I'm trying to do something with the kids. But that ESPN mobile app, and I'm not trying to throw out an ad for that or anything, but that's what I use. You know, when a score happens, it alerts you, and I can keep track of those games a lot easier. Ever since my mobile phone, we started getting smartphones, things have gotten definitely a little bit different, and I can spend a lot more time.
Let me tell you a lot better app.
All right.
I'm gonna indulge you in a lot better app, and you can set it up, you can customize it however you want. Download the Yahoo Sports app.
Okay.
It's called...
I think I might actually have that. I didn't know you could set alerts for it and stuff.
Yeah, it's got a... It tells you can set up score, like, you know, like on today's game, like the West Virginia game. I've got ball can, you know, whenever they change possessions in the quarters, everything. You can set it up for that. You could have your football game set up, all your NFL games set up, and your NASCAR set up, and it breaks down, and it'll like on NASCAR, I think it'll let you know like lead changes and everything. So yeah, that's an easy way to keep it. I like it a little bit better than the ESPN app. So
I'm definitely going to check that out.
To the unpaid to the unpaid intern at Yahoo Sports, yes, you can send me a royalties check for plugging your app.
Don't hold your breath on that one. Don't hold your breath. But yeah, I'm checking it out. All right, I'm excited, man. Football starting Thursday, so what's our first game anyway? Who's playing Thursday?
The first game of the NFL season is, let me pull it up on my nifty Yahoo app that I just plugged, is Packers-Seahawks.
Okay.
And see, even this app even gives you the point spreads and everything.
Dang.
Nice. I like it.
We're slowly becoming raw now that we're plugging the app every 2 minutes.
We need a cheap seats app that just shows that anytime something happens, just my face pops up and just it gives an insult. Like only gay people smoke e-cigarettes or.
No, here we go.
Or type 2 diabetes sucks. Always strive for one. Speaking of which, I have that draft coming up Monday, and it's going to be interesting.
Which one's this?
My Huntington League.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
With some of our gracious friends at the Casual Heroes.
And we are in the process of trying to, and we'll just tease it. But there was a podcast once at one time on the Casual Heroes called the Pick Cast, and
yeah, it's not as good as ours.
I
don't know. I made a couple of appearances.
You
on
were
the
on
Pickcast.
There a couple times.
I even did some live interviews at 2 a.m. in the middle of a Walmart for the Super Bowl.
Brilliant audio. Great
radio.
Where
I had a guy tell me that Archie Manning was going to beat Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. I forgot all about that.
That's some great stuff. Well, their pick cast is supposed to be coming around, and maybe, perhaps, there might be some crossover. You know, we might have a DC Marvel crossover here, or FTCS crossover at some point.
The only two people I'd like off the pit cast is White Dwayne and Gavin.
Clearly.
The guy that hosts that pit cast is a complete douche.
Oh, jeez. I was not bringing that up for insults to fly. I was bringing that up to try and get some cross promotion.
I like Chris. Yes, I'll drop his name. Chris. Me and Chris just like giving each other hell.
That's
because I fucked his mom once. But anyway.
So what serious stuff are we going to talk about today? Is there anything else we're going to talk about? Or are we just plugging into the show?
Yeah, we're just going to let everybody know that this upcoming Wednesday is our home stretch of going weekly. We will then be a weekly show every Wednesday night. That way we got we can recap the week and prepare for the upcoming week, which Mark was gracious enough to allow me to get Wednesday nights on the whole shift that we done, because it falls perfectly in between Monday night football, Monday night recaps, and Thursday night previews. So, and he was gracious enough, you know, the patriarch did throw me a solid by allowing us to get that Wednesday night spot. So
sweet.
And other than that, I mean, if anybody wants to listen to some good radio, this week's Whiskey Rebellion here on the Radlinger Broadcast Network was very interesting and very informative. We get to learn that Melissa McCarthy is a man.
And Gavin wants to fight him.
And we're going to try to get a hold of Dana White, which I got a question about Dana White here in a second. I'm going to throw this out to Robert Winfrey, too, on Twitter. But we're going to try to set up a Vegas cage fight between Melissa McCarthy and Gavin Napier from the Casual Heroes. And I think me and you might even be corner men for Gavin if this does go through. Also, we got I've yet to listen to it. The Batman cast that Mark and Sean done on Long Road Rue, and I've yet to listen to it, but
that didn't happen.
Oh, it did?
No. It was a special episode, and pretty much Sean's going to be leaving us for a little bit. And so it was kind of like him coming on there saying goodbye, and they took about an hour and talked, and it's still interesting. Definitely give it a listen.
So we're losing Senior Sean for a bit.
Just for a little bit.
Off on the hiatus, which, I mean, is understandable because I know Sean's got a very tiresome and demanding job, so I'm pretty sure it's just a brief recharge or something. Because, like I said, Sean works his ass off, and he deserves a break. And so maybe Mark can, you know, feel that. Maybe Winfrey or myself or even you or somebody hop on and bail him out, and we can go through some Long Road Rue and stuff. I know there's a couple of franchises I'd like to partake in, like maybe the Final Destinations or something.
There's some good-looking stuff coming up there, man. I mean, I told Mindy, I said, if I was to cover any of these, which ones would you like to hear, which ones would you want to watch with me? Because she would have to sit down and try and make it through all the movies that whatever we wanted to watch. And the only one she seemed very interested in was Final Destination. And whew, I can remember the first one. And I don't even know if I've watched any of them after that, to be honest. But Mindy's she likes watching the scary movies. And whew, it's hard for me to do it. I'm not a wuss, but man, there's some movies I'm just...
Shannon's the same way. Shannon will not watch a scary movie with me if I beg her. She will watch the hell out of Walking Dead. And it's like, look, some of the stuff that you're watching on Walking Dead is 10 times worse than what I would let you watch. You know, some of the stuff that I would want you to watch.
Leprechaun 3.
Like, hey, Leprechaun Origins, which actually looks, I've heard good reviews about it. I've heard really good reviews about the Leprechaun Origins with Hornswoggle.
Oh my gosh!
Which
I would not even imagine that could be the case.
Which I don't know. They're talking about the lovely See No Evil 2 coming out as well.
With
way
Kane.
To go, Vince! Yeah, way
There's
to go,
none,
Vince!
Yeah,
we got the Marine 12 coming out with I think they're going to use Tyler Breeze or something. I don't know, but. Anyway, I mean, you know, we've kind of went into a complete BS session. I know that they changed it up on Everyone Loves a Bad Guy last night. It was going to be wrestling villains, and then I think Robert changed it up to be took a break and did Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Yeah, I listened to I listened to it live up till the end of Lifetime, and they had Gavin on. It was pretty good.
So yeah, I mean, I haven't got to download it, but I was just informed. I knew that I had pitched the idea to Mark to cover the album, but I didn't know that I was going to be a guest on. So when I was listening to and speaking of which, Mark, I love how Mark. I learned how much Mark pays attention to stuff I send him. Because I sent him a schedule, like what weeks we record and like what nights that we would do a double shot. And the Summer Blockbuster and Whiskey Rebellion, they both plugged us doing a Cheap Seats after the summer recap. And I'm like, Mark, you know we're off this week. But Mark's
right.
got a lot going on. Mark's got a lot going on, so I forgive him, man.
I didn't get too many emails really upset that we weren't on that night, so it went okay.
I'm pretty sure that a lot of people's probably glad that we wasn't on that night, because they know for the next 17 to, well, actually the next...
it'll be in the 20s.
Five months that we're going to be on weekly, so they'll get their fill of us. I do know that Robert Cooper has not died. I have seen him post on Facebook that he is alive, so I don't know if we'll get him back during the season or if his school and work schedule allow it. But I am in talks of getting some other special guests to pop in, like Gavin and White Dwayne, and even the beloved Jed has even reached out and said that he would like to get belligerently shit-faced drunk and come on and discuss something.
That ought to be interesting.
And he asked me, he said, would you care? I was like, dude, I got a mute button. I said, I don't care. I was like, you get out of hand. I'll just mute you or cut you off. I don't care. I'm not Chris. Just remember that you are live. And he was like, oh, okay. So I'm trying to get us a few people to maybe do guest spots. And I spoke to a friend that I did the BCS Bowlcast with, Gavin and him, the Casual Heroes, Josh Calanders, and he's going to maybe hop on and do some college football for us, and, you know, because I know you don't follow college football that much, but, you know, I'm pretty much embedded in any aspect of football, so I asked Josh if he'd like to do a little college football guest spot and stuff, and he seemed interested in it. He's like, I might not be able to do it every week, but I was like, well, we'll just do big games. So
yeah, that'd be cool.
So yeah, we're going to definitely try to get Calanders on to show that you know, the college aspect of football for us. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I think Winfrey's got coverage of the UFC fight tonight. I know he was really upset because they had to do a replacement fight, and Papa Shango, he's blaming Papa Shango for the voodoo curse or something. And then tomorrow night, you got him and Jeff Harris with their weekly 411 Ground and Pound show here on the Radley Broadcasting Network. Am I forgetting anybody? Because I hate to be the person that forgets to plug anybody. As much as I pitch, as much as I bitch about people not plugging us, I would really hate to forget to not plug somebody.
The only one that I can think of, you know, I don't even know if it's been on here, the Sentai Writer podcast, that Robert does, Robert Cooper. That's the only other one. You've touched on every other one. I need to plug the Metal Hammer of Doom that I was on, where we covered Judas Priest. And if you're a Judas Priest fan, hey, awesome. This album that came out, from what I heard, I enjoyed. Now, you're going to listen to the podcast, and you're going to hear me listening to the songs for the first, or the snippets of songs for the first time. And I enjoyed what I heard, and most of the tracks were really good. So that was the last, I think, podcast that I was on. And of course, you can always check out me and Teasley's season one and season two of Mortal Kombat Legacy. Those are in the archives.
Teasley's 1.5. Episode is you.
Yeah.
Season two, infamously known as Teasley Falls Asleep, Wakes Up, Says, Fuck It, I'm in It Now, and the show ends.
The craziest ending to any podcast ever. I'm glad I was able to at least get through the final, and it wasn't until like that last episode when you fell asleep, which is fine, so we made it. But anyway, those are the only two things that I see. We've got to plug our Facebook website, which is facebook.com/cheapseatsrib, my Twitter @Stiznarky, and Jason, your Twitter is TurkoGlue822.
Yep. And, you know, anybody out there that does listen to fantasy football and stuff, go over, support Dynasty Football Warehouse or Fantasy Football Warehouse. It's the same site. You can access both sites together. I mean, it's ran by one of our good friends and friends of the show, Dan Hines, who is spearheading our charity league that we're doing. We're up to I think we made it to 84 teams.
Oh, that's awesome.
Total. I think we did. We've got 5 cerebral palsy teams. One team that Dan met the guy at one of his children's soccer events, and they brought their entire league over, and then we're doing a SID. So, I think there's maybe 70. I think there's 6 or 7 divisions. I think there's 7 divisions total. So, I mean, 7 divisions, 12 teams per division. I mean, That's a nice little 84 teams getting in there, which we need to get people on the ball and get drafts completed this weekend. Cause
we need to do that. We still have, what, like 2 or 3 rounds left in ours?
We've got more. We've got 7 rounds left.
Are you shitting me?
No.
Oh, my
7 rounds.
Gosh, dude. Somebody tell them to set the clock.
I need to get with Dan. I think we're just going to auto pick the rest of the rounds. I mean, I don't think there'd be a problem with it with our division, because I mean, it's got me, you, guy, I know Bill, and I think
Gavin's
Allen,
in there.
Gavin's in there and Allen's in there, so that's 5 of the teams. So I think we'd be pretty cool with everybody just auto drafting the end of it. So also, my upcoming appearance on Metal Hammer of Doom, my debut, which is going to be an interesting thing. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to do it or an organic reaction. I'm going to talk to Mark. I'm going to send Mark a message and ask if he wants me to do an organic reaction or if he wants me to actually be a little bit insightful coming into it and do my research. So I don't know. It all depends. I do what Mark will tell me to do, because he is the patriarch and he signs my paydays. That doesn't exist. So, with that being said, man, I guess this is it till 10 o'clock Wednesday night when we kick off the NFL season, and it's about time for me to start drinking some beer and preparing for my WVU Mountaineers to upset the mighty Alabama Crimson Tide. And either one way or another, come about 5 o'clock today, I'm either going to be highly intoxicated or I'm going to be due to sorrow or happiness. So.
All right.
Cause I figure one way, I figure if it's going to be over, it'll be over by halftime, and I'll be drinking my tears away. But if it goes anything like the Texas game, I left the bar with a $318 bar bill, and I was shirtless with a cowboy hat on top of the bar singing Country Roads. So if Alabama wins, there may be YouTube videos going up.
Oh, man.
Because the sports bar I go to is located near the Walmart, so there might be video of me streaking through Walmart if WVU wins. It has been discussed by people, and they said that they will raise bail money if I was to do it. So
unbelievable.
So we got, which my prediction is a 27-24 WVU win.
Ooh, man.
Against the number 2 team in the nation.
Let's see it happen.
You just want to see my wang run around Walmart. Don't lie.
That's exactly what I want to see.
Your homosexual tendencies are coming out.
But, man,
it's been a fun show today. I mean, even though the second half of the show kind of went completely off the rails. And
that's all right.
Didn't really, it wouldn't be a cheap seats episode if we stayed on track the entire time. So, man, for Jesse, this is Teasley. We're going to go ahead and get out of here and see you guys Wednesday night.